in the last few days, indications of some of it being slow days. We've learned that Barack Obama spent going to six different gyms and working out a lot. Fights over the use of the N-word by Jesse Jackson. All kinds of other relatively irrelevant things. And yet an article appears at pajamasmedia.com by Deborah Burlingame. Deborah is the sister of Charles Burlingame, the pilot of American Airlines Flight 77, which was crashed in the Pentagon on September 11th, 2001, and a director with the National September 11th Memorial and Museum at the World Trade Center. Her article, which I've linked to at tammybruce.com, is titled 9/11 Flight Crews Finally Honored, and it is a pleasure and an honor to have Deborah joining me this morning. Deborah, welcome to the Laura Ingraham Show.
Good morning, Tammy. I'm so happy to be talking with you.
Well, it is. You are, again, one of the shining voices that has remained consistent, that has been an advocate for September 11th victims, their families, for doing the right thing after that tragic event that took your brother and so many others. And it is now, here we are, Deborah. It's 2008, July. And finally, you're able to tell us about a memorial for the flight crews themselves. Tell us what your article covers.
Well, this was a beautiful memorial that was dedicated on July 4th on Independence Day down in Grapevine, Texas, which is right there where the DFW airport is in Dallas. And the magnificent thing about this memorial is that it's a figurative memorial that shows pilots and flight attendants doing what they do every day on our behalf. But it's intended to honor the 33 flight crew members who were killed that morning. And also it's honoring the flight crews that were in the air that day and continue to face a very hostile environment. They are the unsung heroes on a daily basis who are the eyes and ears doing things that the flying public doesn't even know they're doing on our behalf. But primarily it's the 33 who died. We know that they died very heroically defending their passengers and trying to save those airplanes and basically alert the world as to what was going on.
You know, that's the reminder and the shocking thing is that we all take flights every day. And we know we see these flight attendants and they're either giving us something or grabbing a blanket or, you know, listening to our beep as we want another bottle of water. But the training these people had, you know, they sit and they wait for the moment of where there may be an emergency. And yet we also think that it's how you're going to get that emergency slide out. Never do we consider, because of the nature of who we are, that it would involve pepper spray and box cutters and needing to boil water to try to defend a cockpit. These
right.
extraordinary individuals who faced with what was really quite unimaginable on that day. And then is a great reminder, the thousands of flights then left in the air, no one really necessarily then knowing who they had on their flight and what was transpiring at that point in time, which I don't know if a lot of us remember that.
Tammy, I highly recommend a new book that just came out a few months ago by Lynn Spencer. She is herself a commercial airline pilot who had access to everybody because she's a pilot. She got to talk to everybody at the highest levels in FAA, at NORAD. She talked to dozens and dozens of pilots who were in the air that morning, and she put it together in a book called Touching History, the
Great.
Untold story of the drama that unfolded in the skies over America on 9/11. That book basically corrects the record, the 9/11 record, the commission record, and it is a riveting story that I didn't see the movie United 93, but apparently it corrects some of the mistakes in that story.
Can I ask you, did you choose to not see that film? Why didn't you see it?
I couldn't bear to see it. I didn't want to see the depiction of the pilots being killed.
Yes.
I couldn't bear to have that in my head. I just couldn't.
You know, and you are clearly in such a dramatically different position. Well, the same position as 33 other families. I've not been able to watch it either. I just can't do it, and I feel in some ways guilty. And on the other hand, the truth is, it's something that is emotionally, understandably for you, obviously an unbearable thing. This book by Lynn Spencer, again, Touching History, it's an interesting idea because there's these other personal stories and the truth of the matter that surrounds this. And you think this is really the definitive example, the definitive story about what else was happening on September 11th?
Well, I hesitate to use the word definitive because there's it's such a massive story that I'm sure that the record will be continuing to be completed for decades, in fact, beyond when you and I are gone. But I also know I talked to Lynn, and she, you know, the editors cut out, this is only about a third of what her research. She researched this book for years, and some of the incredible pilot stories that she got that they entrusted to her didn't make it into the book. I told her, Lynn, publish another book with those stories because they're incredible stories. I actually had to put the book down. I put it down and cried at one point when she described an MD-80 crew coming into LaGuardia after Tower 1 had been hit. They were so frightened that the first officer held the cockpit crash axe all the way into the air, all the way in, because the MD-80 door is a flimsy little door, and they were afraid. They'd all gotten these warnings about the cockpits being invaded by intruders. So, I mean, this is an incredible book, and it doesn't complete the record, but it sure goes a long way in helping us understand what happened in the air.
Well, and also with it, now we've got so many years going by, there is a generation of young people graduating from school who now see those events, strangely enough, Deborah Burlingame, as just from a movie. And that here you've got, and you note that Lynn Spencer's a single mom. She had access to everyone, the FAA, NORAD, dozens of people. It really humanizes this story. And I think we have to begin, do you agree, with getting to a generation now that is coming of age that maybe doesn't realize the truth and the reality of what happened on that day?
Well, it's one of the reasons why I've been very much a supporter of the September 11th Museum, which will be a phenomenal locus for
us. I was going to ask you about that, the status of that.
That will be the we are hoping that to be really a world-class educational institution.
Excellent.
Have a huge digital library, lots of it will be a great place for schools and students. But that's down the line. You know, that won't open for many, many years. But yes, there is a great need for it now. I mean, for instance, I heard you talking about Barack Obama going to gyms and stuff.
Yes.
I'm very, very disturbed by his understanding of what caused 9/11. He talks about these hijackers as if they're these poor, impoverished kids who did this because they were, you know, hopeless and didn't have a chance or what have you. That's a complete misunderstanding of what animates these Islamists. It has nothing to do with poverty at all.
You know, this Deborah, he said that just recently, that it was about understanding, yes, poverty and this other argument that somehow these people out of desperation were put, this is as opposed to a warlike ideology with a goal attached at the end, which is the takeover and the collapse of this nation, and
well,
that September 11th was
that,
part of the act of the war of that.
Tammy, it's true that they do. I mean, look at the more than 100 Yemenis in Gitmo now. That's a very poor country. There's no question that they do recruit poor Muslim youth. But this is not driven by poverty. It is driven by some of them. These guys are highly educated. Ramzi Youssef was called an evil genius by the judge that sentenced him to over 200 years in prison. These are very, very smart people. Even Massawi, who was called, you know, the wacko clown, had a degree, a master's degree in international business. Spoke five languages. This was not
dumb
guy.
We've cast these people somehow as naive or as idiots only because it's so inexplicable what they do. So with your comments, and I realize that a lot of what we do politically now, and as I'm sure is a lot of what you do, you're looking at the nature of who and how we're going to get through these next several important years in this war for this nation. This is transcends politics, the work that you do. If you just look at this honestly with all the other issues, I don't see how anyone who cares about the seriousness of the war on terror can take Barack Obama seriously.
Well,
just technically.
He may end up being our next president. So what I'm hoping that happens is that he gets an education. I think it's unfortunate that we've got very defective candidates on both sides, as far as I'm concerned. But at least McCain understands who these people are. So
right,
I'm hoping that there'll be enough blowback on Obama that he there's some influence on his ideas about this, because this is not going to go away. I know the Democrats like to talk about fear-mongering, but, you know, look, it is what it is. These people are out there. They're still obsessed with bringing us down, and if he does become president, he will get the briefing of a lifetime that will blow his hair back as to what's really going on. And
I'll tell you, Deborah Burlingame, Barack Obama has come through his political adulthood during the war, and for him to end up 7 years later not understanding it when his political life expanded in this time of war, the man is my age, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
very depressing, actually.
It is. Well, but you're right. We, fortunately, in Deborah Burlingame and the work you do, and books like the one that you've mentioned, Touching History, is, I think, a really good example of the fact that whoever might still be clueless, we're out there. We have a responsibility as the sovereign to advocate, to agitate, and to make sure people do understand what's at stake here. And you've been a consistent, terrific voice in that, Deborah, and I appreciate you joining me today. Great work again for what you brought to our attention.
Well, I thank you, Tammy, for the forum, and I urge your listeners not to lose heart. We can't give up. This is a great country, and we have to think about our guys out there in the field. We can't let them down. We can't walk away from this. We have to stay in there and keep at it.
Indeed. Deborah Burlingame, thank you so much. Great words to end the segment on. She could not be more right. There is more to be hopeful about than to not be hopeful. And, yes, there's work involved. But Deborah's there, we're there, our troops are there, and we'll continue. My name is Tammy Bruce. This is the Laura Ingraham Radio Program. I'll be right back.
Have you forgotten how it felt that day? See your homeland under fire and her people blown away. Have you forgotten when those towers fell? We had neighbors.
Ingraham Show.
Have you forgotten?